Hello, and welcome to Primary Viewpoints from Patient Care Online, a monthly podcast that features informative conversations with healthcare experts, opinion leaders, and practicing physicians about what impacts primary care medicine today. I'm your host, Cindy Jennings, editor at Patient Care Online, and with us today is Dr. William Schaffner to recap the current respiratory virus season. Dr. Schaffner is Medical Director of the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases, Professor of Preventive Medicine in the Department of Health Policy, and a Professor of Medicine in the Division of Infectious Diseases at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine in Nashville, Tennessee.
So to start, could you update us on the status of the 2022-2023 respiratory virus season with the co-circulation of influenza, COVID-19, and respiratory cyclical virus, RSV?
Well, Sydney, this has certainly been a distinctive season. You know, those of us who are involved with respiratory viruses like to say, for example, if you've seen one influenza season, you've seen one influenza season, because they're all distinctive. But this one was very special. First of all, it began very early, and it began with, of all things, RSV. RSV is usually January, February, quite seasonal. Involves, you know, very young children, of course, and we've learned over time, more recently, that it also affects the other end of the age spectrum, older persons, particularly those with underlying illnesses. Well, RSV started in November, and there was a huge surge of RSV, and it usually doesn't strike the entire country at once, but this time it did. And yes, it put a lot of pressure on the children's hospitals and emergency rooms and pediatricians' offices, but also it was clear that we who take care of adults also saw patients with serious RSV infections. That was number one. Then along came, my goodness, influenza, also very early. And the curves showed that influenza just roared up. Started in the southeast, moved up the eastern seaboard, and then moved across the country. And it stayed with us for several weeks. And COVID, smoldering along, now has picked up in different parts of the country. RSV rose up, flu rose up, but their curves are now securely coming down. Will they stay down? We're still worried about particularly influenza. We don't think we've gotten out of that season yet. And of course, we have our eye on COVID as we do all the time, because it's not nearly as distinctly seasonal a respiratory infection. So a triple-demic. We were all very stressed there for a while, but now we're taking somewhat deeper breaths.
And what has the clinical experience been like this year for you and for your colleagues, either specialists or primary care?
Well, I think all of us have been involved in the care of these patients in one way or another, as well as the preventive medicine community, which I'm also part of. First of all, making the diagnosis, distinguishing between these infections, because both for both for influenza and for COVID, we have specific treatments, particularly for people in high-risk groups. So that's been very, very challenging to do that. And there was a strain on the healthcare system, people being admitted to the hospital in some parts of the country. Hospitals really having to go into their pandemic preparedness plan and even postpone elective surgical procedures since the beds were needed for people in respiratory distress. So it was a very busy November, December, and early January.
And what have been, or what have the biggest challenges been, if any?
The challenges have been diagnosis, sorting out these infections, getting the appropriate treatment, and at the same time trying to persuade a vaccine-weary population that they really should get vaccinated, both with influenza vaccine and with the updated COVID vaccine booster. And the uptake of both of these vaccines has been, I must say, somewhat disappointing. There's a lot of vaccine fatigue out there, people wanting to put COVID particularly into their rearview mirrors, so to speak. And so trying to persuade people that they should accept these vaccines has been difficult. As we speak today, the FDA's advisory committee is meeting, trying to plan out what will be the COVID booster plan going into the future. I'm sure it will be the beginning of a discussion, because one of the most frequently asked questions I get is, so you've given us a lot of vaccines. What will be the regular process? How often will we need to get a booster? We're starting to work on that.
Great. So that kind of brings me into my next question. The messages about vaccination against flu and COVID-19 have been very strong and consistent this season. How is the uptake this year comparing with last year?
Well, comparing with last year, which was also a bit of an odd year, but past years, it's been somewhat disappointing. I mean, we thought an updated COVID vaccine booster would be widely accepted, one that would really provide very strong protection to keep you out of the hospital. Both of these vaccines, flu and COVID, do best in protecting against severe disease. And it's been really quite disappointing. And I think largely because people were just tired of getting yet another booster. And many parents were still very cautious about vaccinating their children. And so we will have to cope with that going on into the future, because COVID, like flu, like RSV, is not going to just disappear. It's now part of our respiratory virus landscape, if you will. And we're going to have to keep our guard up. Now, a little more optimistically, but also with a challenge, is that there's been a lot of research that's now starting to culminate regarding an RSV vaccine. Well, goodness, could it be that the fall of 2023, we have three respiratory vaccines to recommend, particularly for our older population? That would be a challenge. Thank goodness, the vaccine scientists are trying at the moment to put influenza and COVID vaccines together in one inoculation. That would be something that I think would be well received by everybody. You only have to roll up one sleeve, not both.
So this is the fourth year of the pandemic. Do you feel as though COVID-19 may not be top of mind for a lot of people anymore?
Oh, I'm with you on that. I think it is not top of mind. People would write that, put it way in the background. They're traveling, they're going to religious services, they're going to concerts, athletic events, and the like, meeting their relatives again, and just joyful, really, and enthusiastic about resuming much of the normal pace of their lives. And if, as I like to say, that's absolutely wonderful, but please do it carefully rather than in a carefree fashion. And by carefully, I do mean take advantage of these vaccines. And number two, particularly if you're in a high-risk group, older people, people with any underlying heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, if you're pregnant, if you're immune compromised, those folks, they ought to still be a bit more cautious, continue to do some social distancing, dust off that mask and bring it out. And I think if we do things a bit more carefully, if you're traveling, for example, wear the mask, I think we can keep our guard up against COVID and these other viral infections also.
And how important is it for clinicians to keep engaging patients about it and encouraging prevention?
Clinicians are key. They are among the most influential people in persuading, comforting, reassuring their patients. truly providing them information that goes to the brain. But the behavioral psychologists have told us that while information, good information, is important and essential, it's often not sufficient to change behavior. What you've got to do is influence how patients feel about things. Are they reassured? Are they comforted? Is it the social norm to be vaccinated? That's why so often when I talk with patients, I smile at them and say, we're vaccinating everybody in our practice. And besides, we're all vaccinated. And I say, everybody in my family's vaccinated. We want you to have the benefit of that protection too. What I'm trying to do is make it the social norm so that the patient feels comfortable. Ah, everybody's doing it. It's okay for me to do it too.
Can you give us a brief update on circulating subvariants, maybe which ones are most concerning at this point?
This is a movable feast, right? Because one of the things we've discovered is that the COVID virus is really capable of mutating probably faster than the influenza virus is capable of doing that. And we have subvariants showing up. The dominant variant at the moment around the world is really Omicron. That's good news. It's very contagious, but it's not more serious. And the vaccines do prevent serious disease. Now, Omicron has spawned a number of children and grandchildren, subvariants. And the most dominant one now is called XBB 1.5. It too has those same characteristics, highly contagious. It's really outrunning all of the others. And however, it's not more severe, and the vaccines still are providing protection against hospitalization, against severe disease. So knock wood, so far, so good. But we are alert against the development of any new variant of concern anywhere in the world. We're particularly concerned about what's happening in China, since they're having so many infections there, which of course provides the virus opportunities to mutate. But what we hope is that we stay within this Omicron extended family. Then I think we can manage that very well. If a new variant of concern, very different, evading the protection of our vaccines, were to show up, then we'd have to do what we do with influenza vaccine when a pandemic virus shows up. Create a new vaccine, and yes, start all over. We hope that that won't happen.
And what would be your message to primary care clinicians as we near the final months of this year's respiratory virus season?
I would say hang in there. I hope that we're on the downslope of this stress on the healthcare system and your offices with these viruses. But when you speak with your patients, constantly reassure them, reinforce the importance of keeping our guard up, continuing to remind our immune system that it has to be active and ready to fight off these viruses, and promise them that when you see them again next fall, it'll be time to get vaccinated against flu and COVID at least, and maybe even RSV. Vaccines are good. Disease is bad. Let's keep that in mind.